Thank you, Terry, and appreciate your time and all the energy you put into that. My goodness. Hallelujah. Well, again, here we are, and I want to pick up where we left last Sunday. It's talking about prepping the work, prep work before he comes. And last week, remember, we started off and we talked on Isaiah 40, verses 1 through 3, about preparing the way and comforting the people, and that was what that was about at that time. And then we kind of went into John and Matthew as well. Matthew we shared a little bit with last week about the same. John the Baptist prepares the way. And it says, in those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. And when I looked at that the week or so back, it's like, make his path straight. Why do I need to make God's path straight? Now, today I want to look at in Luke. It shares that same verbiage, but if you go to Luke 3, 4 to 5, I like what it says here. And it says, it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet saying this. And this is Luke 3, 4. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill brought low. The crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough ways smooth. So as you look at that, and we were looking at what this is all meaning, as John, remember last week how I shared this, that back in the days of John, that when a official or a king, a highfalutin guy or individual was coming to a town or to a village, there would be a messenger that would go out before them, probably a few days ahead, maybe a week before, I don't know. And he would go and tell the people in that village to prepare the way. There's somebody important coming to see you and to visit you next week, or whatever the case might be. Maybe it'd be 2 weeks, I don't know. But a messenger went out to tell the villagers or the people there, prepare the way. There's an important person coming to see you in a short time. And what that meant was to fill in the potholes. Basically, look at your road, look at the path, and take the lumps out, fill in the potholes, make it straight, prepare the way. It was correlated to like that of, we shared last week, about like rolling out the red carpet for some dignitary that's coming to visit your community. And last week I also shared, remember when Jesus came into Jerusalem that last time, what did the people do when he was walking in that final time? They laid the palm branches down in that path to prepare that way. It was like walking on a carpet. They wanted to do something to show honor to who Jesus was, and they laid that palm branch down. It was like that of a red carpet. And so as we look at this, and we're trying to get this understanding of how are we today to prepare the paths for him to come. And we're charged with a challenge for all of us here today to be ministers of the gospel, and to go out and share what God has done, what he is doing, what he can do, all of these things into each and every one of our lives. Now, as we are here today, we're looking at it. You could have all kinds of testimonies, right, of what he has done in your life, where he brought you from. Remember, we sing these songs and the praise and worship, you know, like a rose trampled on the ground. How many were trampled on the ground? Felt that way. Your life reflected that way, whatever the case might be. But he came and he picked you up. He breathed new life into you. He put your feet on a path, hopefully on a path to stay. Hopefully that he brought a new life into you. He breathed, you know, we breathe in the nostrils of life at our natural birth. Whew, you know, we get that breath of God. But then we find that in our rebirth, receiving Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, our spirit then comes live again, because our spirit had died because of the sin that has been brought into the world. And so we all need to do that. We all have to have that rebirth experience. Talked about how Jesus said, you know, that he is the way, the truth. There's no other way to that of God except through him. So anyway, as we look at that, and this morning or yesterday, you know, looking at Luke, I really loved how Luke put this in there to where it was preparing those ways, that every valley shall be filled. Many of you were in valleys before you came to Christ. Many of you had a mountain before you or a hill before you that was obstructing where you were to go. Your life in general, you felt like, man, this is all what life is like, is just a total uphill. Anybody been feeling like they've been in an uphill battle? It's bad enough to have a battle on flat, level terrain, right? But could you imagine having a battle and you're going uphill all the time? All the time. But that's what some of our lives felt like. How about those that crooked places to be made straight? It seemed like we were always going through this life, this way, that way, that way, this way. Any kind of possible wind of doctrines, or maybe just in the life of this world and our job and our career and our promotion and our family and this situation and my hobby and my friend, whatever the case is, we have so many possible turns and weaves in our road of life. And so for us today, as John was sharing to prepare the way of Jesus, he's coming to prepare your hearts. Get ready to hear from him. We too have to be doing that same thing today. Because I think so, as last I looked, I think there are still sinners out there, aren't there? I think there's still a lost and dying world out there. So we look at ourselves in the church going, well, what can I do? What can I be? Am I to do anything? I thought when I came to Christ, I was able to just receive him, come into church and take some Bible studies or some class things or just some groups that we were in, and I enjoyed that. And I kind of like the church as a club. I really like just getting with my people that I know, and we know one another. And then when Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday come, and when I go back out in the world, when I go back out into my job, I lived, you know, I did okay, but I really didn't keep the focus on what the message was, says to go out. I watched again this video this past week of Nate Dockstrom when it was aired over on the Alpha and Omega over in Romania, TV over there, and they interviewed him for an hour about his mission work in Romania, which he's been going there for several years now, and his whole focus was the workplace ministry was your mission field is your workplace. Your mission field is where we're at, where God has placed us. And so some of us might think like, well, I'm sure glad he didn't send me over to Romania. I'm sure glad he didn't send me to Africa or Mexico or South America or the Middle East or China. I'm glad I didn't go there. I'm just an American Christian. I just go to church on Sundays, maybe one other time during the week, and I call it good. But you have a mission field that's right in front of your face. You have a mission field as soon as you step out of this church, around your neighborhood, around your workplace, around wherever you're at. And so we've got to do something. We've got to be a part. Do you believe you're part of the message? Jesus is the message, but you are part of that message. We are just like John the Baptist. We need to go and prepare the people's hearts for those. Now, we're not going to change them. We're not going to get them ready and say, here, let me clean you up first, and then I'm going to introduce you to Jesus, and I want you to receive him, and then we'll let the Holy Spirit come in and do his thing. No, we're not preparing them that way. Only God can clean them up. Only the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, has to come into that person's heart and begin to show him or her what he doesn't like. Because we can all tell them what they should be changing too, right? Ooh, just let me tell that person. Ooh, I just see what they need to do right now. That's not our place. Our place is to bring the news of the gospel to them. You're hurting. You're in pain. You're in darkness. You don't know where you're at. You don't know what life's about. You got hills and mountains in front of you. You got crooked ways in your life. You've got so many things. But I've got someone I can introduce you to. Now we're going to say, how can I be a help? Today we want to look at just some areas that we can be that help. So just like John the Baptist, we got to make straight the road to him. We can prepare a person by explaining their need for forgiveness. Many times we have talked about to where if you can't forgive yourself, how can you receive the forgiveness of God? How many times do people tell us, I am such a sinner, or I have done such and such of this, that I don't believe God could love me. Yes, He does love you. You did that or this outside the realms of what God was about. You were in darkness. You were doing what people in, you know, the devil's playground do. We do a lot of sin. We do a lot of crazy things. We do a lot of things that, you know, if we don't catch it, it could harm us. You know, can you believe some of the sin that the world puts you into, the god of this world, some of the sin that he directs your paths into can actually physically harm your body, to kill you, to destroy you? Why is that? Because he says the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And so there's a battle for us. There's a battle for those people out there in the dark. They just don't know it yet because they're in the dark. But we are of the light. I like your message today. It talks about that because we're going to go to 1 John. And I want to share that in 1 John. Let's just share a little bit here. 1 John 1:9 is the focus of this, but I want to read before it and get down into it. But in 1 John 1:9, it does say, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. All. The world puts things on a people that says, well, you might have a big God. He might be a so-so. He got certain powers, and I'm sure he can take care of some of your sins, but probably not all of those sins, because my goodness, you were a chief sinner. Hey, somebody said that in the Bible, didn't they? I was the chief sinner of them all. And now look at me. Your past does not focus onto what your future is. Your past is just your past. What is the thing that you want to look at is what has happened when Jesus came into your life? What happened when you had a change of events in your spirit? What happened when your eyes that were darkened are now enlightened? What happened when the scales fell off of your eyes? What happened when your seared mind and hardened heart were softened and opened up to hear the things of what God has said about you? It's not what Tim says about you, but what does God say about you? And that's how we get into these people today. That's how we're preparing them for the message of God. It's like, this is what the world may say to you, and you might believe it, but don't buy the lie. It's the lie of the devil to keep you down and to keep you in your sin and to keep you into the points of saying, you're not worthy. Oh, how many people have heard, I'm not worthy. I'm just not worthy. So we've got to be an encourager. We've got to exhort them to the things of an understanding of what our God is about. Because as I look at you, you all were raised and elevated to a higher place once you received Christ. Did you feel that? Did you receive that from Him when you asked for forgiveness and said, oh, please come into my life. I make you Lord of my life. Fill me now with the Holy Spirit. Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. Make it new. Thank you, Lord. And he just does those things. So let's kind of look at 1 John 1:5. It says, this is the message which we have heard from him, and we declare to you. You have heard a message from God. You've heard a message of the one crying in the wilderness. Amen. You've heard him come into your life. You were in that wilderness until he came into your heart. Amen. This is the message which we have heard from him, and we declare to you that God is, here it is, God is what? Light. And in him there is no darkness. The darkness is of the world. There's light of that of him. And they don't intermix. His light will dispel any and all darkness. There can never be enough darkness to quench that of light. I have never seen a source of light to ever be able to be totally taken. And how dark can dark get? Well, maybe some of us have come from a really dark, dark, dark past. Generally, those that are like that, you know, that have been the chief sinners, usually they're the ones that come online or on track with God, and they become the brightest bulb in the pack. Because as crazy as they were for the things of the darkness, all of a sudden they begin to say, ah, there's a difference and a change, and it's the light. And they're going to go out and they're going to do things that sometimes will run circles around sometimes the rest of us, because it's just where they were at and how God has touched their heart and changed their lives. I said, God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. The atoning blood of Christ, that is the answer. It washes our sins. It makes us white as snow. Hey, a few more weeks, we're going to have some snow coming, guys. And when that first snow comes, it's so clean and pure and white. Isn't it awesome? Don't cover your ears out there. I'm saying it. But I love to look at the winter when it comes, to look at that, and I reflect back on God's word, and I look at that, and it's like, his blood has cleansed my sins. I'm as white as snow. Beautiful, beautiful. But it's the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. You're talking to your friend, coworker, or just a stranger on the street, and you're led into a conversation by that of the Spirit leading you in to have a conversation with this person. Or this person comes to you and begins to share something, and you're going, I don't know where this is going. I don't know. All of a sudden, the Spirit hits you, and you begin to share the message that they need to hear. And then in verse 8, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we, in verse 9, confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we confess our sins, that's what we have to let them understand. Just confess your sins. Don't brag about them. I'm not saying brag about your sins or anything like that, but just confess those things. And you know, confess it between you and God. I don't need to hear all the sin and the things that you want to say. Just hear. Just now, just ask. Confess those things before him and ask for that forgiveness. And he is faithful, amen. Where it says it here, he is faithful and just to forgive us. He forgave me of my sins. He can forgive you of your sins. And cleanses us from all unrighteousness. And his word tells us, because how many times we go, oh, I'm not righteous. Well, you've got that right. You get an A. You get a star on that answer. But it's not my righteousness. Whose righteousness is it? His. In me. Living in me and through me. It's not for me to boast, because we can all look at one another and say, I can pretty well understand where you're coming from. This is talking to that lost person out there. We're preparing the way, remember? We're setting the path straight. So when that Spirit and that time comes in time for all of a sudden it hits with that person, they're going to be touched by that of the Holy Spirit, because we pray that, Lord, I always pray, Lord, open their mind and their heart to hear from you. And use me to say whatever it is that I'm to say. I don't know what to say. But we go into it with that thought process that whatever I'm going to say, because I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, I'm going to trust that God's going to speak through the Spirit to me, and I will share what they need to hear. And we'll do it in what? Love. Love. Not condemning. We will allow the Holy Spirit to convict them, but I'm not going to condemn them for whatever style of life they've led, or living, or having right now. I'm going to talk to them like that of what Jesus would do. And many times, this is amazing how the people will tell you how bad their sins are, or how bad they are and what they're doing and a part of. And you just have to realize that there is no sin that he can't clean from that of the blood of Christ. The only thing that's a blasphemy is if people say that I have sinned so much that even the death of Jesus and his blood is not even that powerful to cleanse me of my sins. Or the Holy Spirit? Ah, no, there is no Holy Spirit. That's the devil speaking. Those type of things blasphemy that of the Spirit. And then you get into really some questionable grounds with that of God. But if we just come, and even in our own lack of understanding, and I think God understands that, doesn't he? Doesn't God understand our lack of knowledge and understanding of His Word when sometimes people make some crazy comments? Huh. And you just have to take it that way and think, okay, Lord, what do I say now? And now, Terry and different ones out here, God has given you those things to say. And those people need to hear that, and they come and they almost ask, and they respond back to you like, wow, I've never heard it that way. Oh, thank you. That now kind of makes sense to me. Oh, that's what I needed to hear. See, we've got to understand, as we are preparing the way, there's already the Spirit of God is working. Right? The Spirit is already moving. And we're there at that particular junction of time, and He's trusting us as followers of His to be able to prepare that path for that person. Again, we're not changing them. I'm not softening their heart. I'm just going to be an example of Christ in the flesh. And the way a lot of that happens is, I'm going to tell you, is love, love, love. You cannot condemn them. Remember, I've said in the past, sometimes you tell people like, repent or you're going to hell. I've heard people say, okay, that's okay with me. Well, how do you respond to that? As a Christian, as your Christianese, it'll take you and spin you around. It'll make you go flip. Well, wait a minute, I wasn't prepared for that. I thought if I just mention hell, it'll scare everybody into heaven. No. There's a lot of people out there that are what? Seared minds, hardened hearts, all these things, their eyes are blinded. They just think this is what, they will tell you, this is what I think heaven's like, and it just gets worse from here. When you hear that, there's another thing that tilts you. Oh, help me, Lord. Give me the words to say. Quick, quick, quick. I'll have a lot of friends there. I love what I'm doing in this life. You call it sin. I call it fun. I call it getting my way. I enjoy life. You know, I get drunk, I get high, I do this, I carouse, I run around, I do this, I blah, blah, blah. It's okay, it's fun. I enjoy it. The enemy, or the God of this world, the enemy, Satan, has done a very good job in that person's life to really just totally close them into this is what this is all about. The one that dies with the most toys wins. The only thing is, you can't take your toys even to hell. But if we come into them with love, and so somebody responds that way. It's like, I have to rely upon the Spirit of God to give me the words to say. Well, how do you get them out of that thought process? And I trust God enough that when that happens, He will give me something to say. It might give me nothing to say, but it might be a prayer for that person. Because here again, even if I can't make that path straight, I can still turn it over to God and say, Lord, I shared the light that's in me of You. But they are so hardened by this world. I can only ask, Lord, that by that of the Holy Spirit, that I planted a seed. See, we just need to be seed sowers. Don't think you've got to cultivate the heart, plow the heart, plant the heart, water the heart, and harvest it all within 10 minutes. If you think that, you're going to fail. And when you do that and you fail, the devil will jump on your shoulder and say, well, you are not such a strong man or a woman of faith, are you? You can't get in it. You can't even share the Word of God to get people saved. What kind of Christian are you? Just stay in your own little club on Sundays and feel good about yourself. Give a tithe, you know, give something to somebody that needs something and feel comfortable in that whole framework of I've done the Christian duty, when the Christian duty is to go out and to be a minister of the gospel. You have connections out there. You have divine meetings with people out there. You have got to prepare their way to receive somewhere down the line of something, of other things of God. I myself count it a privilege if nothing more than I'm just going to plow the ground. If I'm just going to cultivate and just break up the earth, that's okay with me. How am I going to break up the earth? I'm going to build a relationship. We're going to talk a little bit. We'll say whatever the word or the Spirit gives me to say. But I'll be okay with that, and I will just leave it at that, and I will just pray about that. But I want to leave them with an understanding that I will be your friend. There's many times we've had conversations with people that didn't believe this or that of Jesus or that or this or that, and whatever the case might be, and they're looking at Old Testament and this and this and this and that. And I'm not a learned person to the point of a lot of background of colleges and all of this stuff, but I do ask them this, so, okay, but does that diminish what Jesus did on the cross? Every time I've asked that, they go, no. Does that diminish what the blood of Christ did to sins? No. Does that diminish what the Holy Spirit does in the days of today? No. I said, then why are we arguing about it? Why are we focused on this thing here that's just something that man puts their thoughts in that want to try to do some kind of back and forth sparring? Well, I believe this. Well, this says this. That verse says that. But that, then back then it really means this. But this had happened that way. Blah, 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 blah. Because I want to get down to the final thing. It says, does this matter with your salvation? And generally, every time I've asked a guy that, he says, no. And I said, so then, let's move on. We agree. This doesn't apply. So anyway, it's just as we get into these points and these times of trying to prepare the way. And today, I'm going to just look at here. I've got a couple of footnotes here I want to look at in John. 1 John. Where are we going to go here? My goodness. Oh, I got a note here. Darkness. Darkness, darkness, darkness. When we think of darkness, remember we talked in here where it says, God is light and in him is no darkness at all. When we think of darkness, so it says here that God is light and in him is no darkness. Darkness. Darkness is gloom. Darkness is evil. This is what the meaning of it is in this word wealth that I've got. It does help me, okay? But darkness, gloom, evil, sin, obscurity, night, ignorance, moral depravity. Guess what? God doesn't work in any of that stuff. It says that in him is no, in God is no darkness. There is no gloom, no evil, no sin, no obscurity, no night, no ignorance, no moral depravity. In this New Testament, it uses this word in a metaphorical sense of ignorance of a divine truth. Man's sinful nature, total absence of light, and a lack of spiritual perception. And that's what we've got. They have a lack of what? Spiritual perception. Because this is all coming by that of the Spirit. Jesus says, I got to go so that he can come and lead you into all truth. The Holy Spirit. Now that's the next category of we've got to get them understanding of what Jesus died for them. Jesus' blood cleanses them of their sins. And that God has a great plan for them. And then we need to have that understanding and let the Spirit begin to do that moving within them to where the Spirit comes in and begins to open and enlighten them to the grandeur of God. In my walk with him when I was at this other church, fantastic church, great church. But in my own spirit, of my own growth with God, I said I need it and I want, and I need it, well, I guess I did need it, but I want to know more of the Holy Spirit. Boom, God brings us over here to Believer's Faith Fellowship. Boom, right here. We didn't travel around, it was right here. Boom. Spirit was moving, Spirit was happening, things were going on. I didn't understand it, I questioned it, and God said, you want to learn, you want to see, sit and watch. I sat and I watched. And so that's how the Spirit begins to grow in us as we have that hunger. I'm going to tell you, anytime you've got a hunger for more of God, God will fill that hunger. Do you believe it? Whenever you ask him and say, I need to understand, or I would like to know more, or Lord, give me more of this, Lord, give me more of your understanding, Lord, do this, except just stay away from patience. Lord, give me more patience. Ooh. Well, he'll do that too. But we've got to be willing to cry out to those things in our spirit to say, I want, and it's not from the pastor, it's not from the church, it's you individually getting this hunger and this desire in your spirit to say, I want more of God in my life. And I've got to quit playing games with him. I've got to stop getting back out in the world's ways of doing things. Man, oh man, for a while there, I was in the path of the world for a few days and in the path of God for a few days. You know, I was on God at that time. I was on God's path on Sundays. Then I was in the world's path on Monday through Saturday or Monday through Friday. And all of a sudden, I had to get this understanding and said, I need to stay on God's path. And you can stay on God's path even out in the world working in a secular job. Amen. You don't have to get on the world's path just because the church isn't there. Because you are the church going out. And wherever you go, the church is going. Oh, hallelujah. Keep the church out of government. If you're a Christian and you're a government worker, the church is in that, the church is in that workplace. If you're a teacher and you're a Christian, they can't close the church out of the schools because I'm a Christian, I'm a teacher, I'm an administrator, or whatever the case is. The church comes with me wherever I go. God comes with me through the Holy Spirit. See, you've got to understand who you are in Christ and the power that you have in you and the ability that He has put in you that is not on your strength, that's not on your knowledge, is not on your wisdom. We just come to Him and, I just open my heart and say, Lord, use me. Use me, like my Lord said, Jesus, to bring glory to you, God. If we would desire in our lives to do nothing more than to bring honor and glory to God, He will pour so much of Himself into you. He will clean you up. He will set your feet on path to stay. He will keep you on that straight and narrow. He will give you the Holy Spirit to kind of give you that, not condemnation, but conviction to say, you better stay, you better clear, you better not get too far here or there because you have a tendency to fall. Stay here. God's path is not crooked. Woo! God's path is straight. He's wanting you to, once you get on His path, it's a path like this. You think Janesville with 8 lanes going through it is, well, it says in His word it's narrow, isn't it? Okay, forget that analogy. I was going to say, look at the straight path that goes through Janesville now. My goodness. But you know why God's path has to be straight and narrow to Him? Because you can get on these wide paths and multi-lane highways and you can get off on the wrong highway really fast. Because when you got 5 lanes, you got 5 different signs that tell you where you're needing to go. Where when I'm on that lane of going with God, I'm just on His lane. And I know God will teach me and show me and He will direct me and He will keep me going. Amen. Well, I didn't get through half of what I want to share on just 1 John. That's okay. 1 John, because I want to touch base on a little bit too of confessing and unrighteousness. And I want to kind of look at those things. But here again, and when Terry brought this up and she talked about this, I said, God is light and in Him is no darkness. See, that's the thing when we're saying as getting back to prepare the path as we wrap it up here, is like, well, what am I to do? How can I do this? I'm not a pastor. We're all ministers of the gospel. You've heard that? We got to hear from Him and do our assignment. And you know what? Even if you fail, guess what happens? Because I failed. Anybody else here fail at some of the things that God's asked you to do? And when I failed in those areas, I go back to Him and I say, Lord, oh God, forgive me. I don't think I represented You well that time. Or I don't think I shared what I should have. Or I didn't do it the way I think it was pleasing to You. Would You forgive me, please? Thank You, Lord. And Lord, give me another chance. You know, if it's to work on what I'm to do, give me another chance. And let me hear and be led by You. And He will forgive you. And He will pick you up, dust you off, and set you back on the path, saying, because all He's wanting to hear you say is, you blew it. I blew it. He already knew you blew it. He wants you to know that you blew it. And then He wants you to know that in Him there's forgiveness. It's not just that one time coming from sin and washed and cleansed that, okay, you can't sin no more because that's only a one-time deal. Nope. Throughout our entire days, our weeks, or whatever, we will do things, say things, not do things. To Him, it's a sin. We've got to ask for forgiveness, don't we? And then we go back on His path. Put us in the game, God. Hallelujah. Aren't you wanting to be in God's game? I'm on His team. But I just don't want to be on the team on the side bench. I want to be out there in the field. I want to be out there playing whatever the sport is, whatever you want to, make a correlation to. But just know that you want to be in the play field of what God's got going on. Oh, yeah. Because when that time comes, and I don't know, we all know we're going to get called home, right? But when we get called home, I don't care what you guys think of what I've done here as a pastor. I just want to hear my God say, well done, Tim. Well done. That is worth everything. Hallelujah. Because I want to honor and glorify him. Why is that? Because Jesus Christ is my example. I'm a disciple. I'm a follower. I want to follow what he's doing. And I want to do what he's asked me to do. And anyway, we're going to continue to work on this a little bit. And we want to get into some areas of not just preparing by explaining the need for forgiveness, but how about living a life of an example for people to see a difference? It's one thing to speak a difference. It's another thing to live a difference. Amen? Let's close here in prayer. Heavenly Father, I love you. Thank you, Father, for giving us the privilege to just minister, Lord, your word. And Lord, your word is so true. Your word gives us all direction and gives us hope. Oh, Father, if we can just honor you and glorify you in our days, that is what we want to do. And so, Father, as I shared your message of today, I pray, Lord, that the people receive your spirit in it and that anything that was of me, Lord, would just be forgotten. Because what I have to say is not worth anything compared to what you are speaking in your word by that of the Spirit. And so, Father, touch our hearts, touch each one here today now. And I thank you, Father, as we continue on this path of understanding what it is for us to prepare the paths. Prepare the paths for you as we do this for people around us. We love you, Lord. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.